So our brother Jeremy will be speaking tonight, and his subject is current events align with Bible prophecy. He has no introductory reading, so we'll turn things over to you, Brother Jeremy.
Thank you, Sean. So everybody should be able to see online the shared slides. And if you have a big enough screen, you might even see my little face down in the corner somewhere. If you want to, you have a choice if you're online. If you're here, you're stuck with me. All right. So tonight we have, I think, very exciting topic, current events and Bible prophecy. Bible prophecy is something very unique that we discover within the scriptures and has posed a challenge to many in the world to refute the incredible prophecies found, especially in the prophet Daniel. But there are others that we're going to look at today. And we're going to see, I believe, without a doubt, that the current events align with Bible prophecy, so much so that it's not only amazing, but in some ways, it's scary. Just to see how close they are. So first, welcome everyone. And we do live in these very interesting times. Our modern age, it's moving so incredibly fast. You know, the technology, the economy, the politics, the climate, even the culture, right? Everything's coming head to head, and it's every country. I don't think anyone's escaping all the chaos that's happening in the world and the changes. And I don't think there's any other point in time in history through the world where we could get news transmitted, shared globally to us as we walk down the street staring at our phone. We can find out information so incredibly quick. In fact, one of the projects I'm working on with the BC government is they need to have the news that's happening in BC as it's happening. So politicians can change their speeches on the spot and deal with issues. And we live in that period of time where everything is so urgent, the way that the reactions are and the things that people need to say and do. You know, the global economic and military power of the United States in quick decline, right? The Russian influence is in quick incline. The changes within Europe and the Middle East, dramatic. We think of just a few years ago, the Arab Spring and all the things that have still continued to this day. The economy, China, the GDP has surpassed the United States since 2014 and it continues. We've seen some dramatic, you know, push and shove, between these nations to, you know, keep their supremacy or to overtake the other. The United Nations, it's a laughingstock. It's incompetent. It's a, you know, springboard or a speech podium for various causes and mostly a consistent anti-Israel agenda. And you can see if you do some basic reading, you find out, you know, the disproportionate amount of energy they put on one topic and none on others. The leadership and the relationship with NATO and the supporting nations is non-existent, right? So you see these military bodies and groups are collapsing under their own weight and the various challenges that face humankind. And we see in this pandemic, the last 2 years, boy, oh boy, the world's changed. You know, the economies and the nations that, you know, we've thrown everything we can, including the kitchen sink, to solve this pandemic, and it keeps on coming. And you can see it is not in man to direct his steps. We can do the best effort we can. We find that, you know, the things that happen, what God wants to happen will happen. We can't change them. They all bring about a purpose, a greater purpose, but often through great turmoil. Now you may not know, but the national debt of countries and printing money is skyrocketing. In fact, in 2021, the U.S. printed 40% of all U.S. currency in existence. So think, you know, how many hundreds of years they've been printing currency. And 40% this year is what they printed of all that currency. And you see the amount of debt and inflation. Interest rates 0%. Now, the world is in chaos. And we see that there's confusion and sex, gender, healthy lifestyles, the purpose of life, morality in general, right? So all these things are coming to a head and we look, you know, for answers. And I believe we find them within scripture. But God doesn't want us just to be individuals with blind faith. He wants us to be sure of these things based upon his word and us studying it. In Luke chapter 21, this beautiful passage in Christ, he says, and there shall be signs in the sun. And we're not going to go into all the symbols, but for those that may not know, the sun, moon, stars, the earth, these things, the sea, they all represent things. They represent the political and the ecclesiastical powers, the people, the nations. So there's going to be signs in all these things. Distress of nations with perplexity. That word perplexity means they just don't know what to do. They run out of things to solve all the problems. The sea and waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. And I think that really applies to many periods of time in our history where people are terrified, but we see that today where our lives are governed by fear and the structure of our society is governed by this element of this unknown and terror. And it's for looking on things which are coming to earth. Now, I think obviously things can get worse. God willing, they will not. But, you know, we can see just with some weather, suddenly people freak out, right? And they start hoarding and they start fighting over diminished resources. And it doesn't take much more than a little bit of rain to cause that, let alone all the other things that can happen. And we live in a beautiful, incredible country that I think we escape most of these things. I think if we went into third world countries, we would have an eye opener. But out of all these things, it says, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. So the scripture isn't full of doom and gloom, although there is a lot of doom and gloom in it. It's about a greater purpose of God, this greater deliverance that God is promising. So what some of you may not know is that the geopolitical structure of the world today was prophesied over 2,000 years ago, more than that. Tonight, we want to review these prophecies and the current events to see if they truly align. And if we discover that they truly do align, it's not a coincidence. There's insanity and then there's crazy. If you can, you know, have this many different writers provide these insights that are so far off, this isn't 1 year away, which, by the way, if you can predict 1 year, you are incredible. You can predict 2 years, you're more incredible. And each year you get more and more incredible until it's just unbelievable. And God has provided through his inspiration to these prophets and individuals of faith this template for the individuals that could listen to the word and apply it to their current life. They could see the current events. And today we can see current events all over and be convinced that it's irrefutable evidence of the divine plan actively being worked out. And it can only lead us to believe that if God was right about all this, then surely he's also right about what comes next. So there's two things we want to cover. It's not much. We do have, you know, a lot of slides, which are just snippets of the news. You'll have to go online and read the news for yourself. I'm just capturing the headlines and pulling out some of the relevant information. But there's two big points. And the first one we do a lot, as a community. We look into this, and it's because it's a modern day miracle, right? Many of us, not myself. I wasn't born then, but my father was. It's this relevant piece that's critical to our understanding of scripture and how God's working in the world. But that will give us assurance. So when we look at number two and we look at our current day events, we will be absolutely amazed that these nations are aligning just as God informed us. So now remember, these prophecies were made before the Babylonian captivity and during the Babylonian captivity. And then some were even made by Jesus Christ himself. So all informing the Jewish people, not only that their nation would go into exile. So remember the context. A lot of these prophecies, this, if they were good Bible students, they'd recognize that there's a bit of doom and gloom involved. That the nation of Israel, there'd be a time period of the Gentiles that they would no longer have this place to call home. And we know that is true. In AD 70, Jerusalem was burned. And for nearly 2,000 years, the Jewish people were dispersed, their language nearly forgotten. Now, only a fool would think that they could guess what tomorrow brings, but we know that the greater plan of God will come to pass. So the day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels which are in heaven, neither the Son, but the Father. However, he doesn't say, well, if you don't know, don't think about it, you know? Just focus on putting one foot in front of the other. That is important advice, and it is scriptural, except we need a vision that's greater. And he tells us, take ye heed, watch and pray, for ye know not when the time is. For the Son of Man is a man taking a far journey, who left his house and gave authority to his servants, and every man his work, and commanded the porter to watch. Watch ye therefore. So he keeps telling us, watch, for ye know not when the master of the house cometh. At even, or at midnight, or the cock crowing, or in the morning. Lest coming suddenly, he find you sleeping. And I always recall the parable of the 10 virgins. So 10 individuals that believed in the return of Christ and the setting up of the kingdom, but 5 didn't have enough oil. So he doesn't want to find us sleeping. And there is this fear that we will. And what I say unto you, I say unto all, watch. So that's what we're going to do. We're going to watch, we're going to look around us, and we're going to start seeing that history has been playing out slowly in our eyes, right? I don't know about you, but a year is a long time for me. But to God, 1,000 years is a day. And so this time span can, you know, goes many years. And yet we see the slowly incremental movement towards this final conclusion when his Son will return. And so this particular map, when we look at the geopolitical situation, particularly in the Middle East, we see as never before the nations being aligned as the ancient prophets revealed they would. Christadelphians for 170 years or so have expected two major power blocks to emerge in the Middle East at the time of the end, and certainly not because of our own wisdom, but just from reading the Word of God. So there'd be a northern block, and it all situated in the relationship between these two blocks is the Middle East. Israel itself. And so this is what we see is developing. We don't have time to review, you know, all the historical prophecies related to the division of the Grecian Empire after Alexander died, right? He had 4 generals they took over. However, it is related to current events and the prophecies concerning 2 blocks of nations. One is called the King of the North and the other the King of the South. And these symbolic entities began in the Grecian Empire, but transformed into the Roman Empire. And this empire then transformed from 4 distinct divisions to 2. So you see in the south, the Ptolemy, and the north, the Seleucus. And so Seleucus, he spread, and eventually he took over the Lysimachus, or I'm going to say it wrong, and Cassander. And so there ended up being 2 Roman antagonist sections in the beginning. And so there's a push and pull and push and pull and various treaties between the two. And finally, it was 1 Roman Empire for a time, and then it became 2. And just as Bible prophecy told us in Daniel that we would see these 2 Roman legs of iron, and then they would go down into the feet. So the Roman Empire, the East and the West, they became also separate in their religious focus, right? We have the Eastern Orthodox and the Roman Catholics. But these 2 elements would continue. So Rome in the West, Constantinople in the East, 2 distinct Roman entities that would continue into the feet made of iron and clay. and the barbarian invasions slowly changed the West, and the Ottoman Empire pushed the East further north, and the Western Roman Empire spread throughout Europe, while the Eastern Roman Empire spread through Asia. And what you may know is Moscow is called the Third Rome. And the Nazis, they attempted to establish the Third Reich, which is the Third Rome, right? So there's this Roman element that continues to this day. This influence and historical and cultural economic connection between this people. So let's go review a few of these passages. In Ezekiel 37, we get this first point buildup, which is Israel would exist at the latter day. And now obviously in Christ's day, some of these prophecies wouldn't make sense to them, right? They say, we already exist. And remember, they thought the Lord would come and he would set up the kingdom then. So they felt they were already there. But as they were dispersed, and through the last 2,000 years, believers would look upon these passages and they would wait for the return of Israel, the Jews, to the land, because of their understanding of scripture, specifically Ezekiel 37 and a few other places. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst to the valley which was full of bones. So this is the valley full of bones prophecy. And caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. And again he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And if you read the rest of the chapter, you'll find that there's a greater hope for them. It's not just about the reestablishment of Israel as we see it today, but it's a change in the people's heart. And we know that part hasn't come to pass. The people are, generally speaking, atheist, or certainly don't accept Christ. If we went to the next chapter, chapter 38, another incredible chapter that helps us understand the time period we live in. And you have to always, step back and think about these prophecies in the context of time. You know, there's been a ton of time, 2,000 years, where people have read these passages and talked about them and tried to understand what they represent and looked at their own current existence and said, well, this doesn't seem to line up. Because such and such. But what we find is today they really, really do. And it's incredible. So son of man, set thy face against Gog, the land of Magog, the chief, that's Rosh, prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him and say, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I'm against thee, O Gog, the chief prince or Rosh of Meshech and Tubal. Just in case you don't know why I keep making that emphasis, some translations, because it is, remember, Hebrew is their words and names. Rosh is the old name for Russia. Meshech and Tubal, and I'll turn thee back and put hooks into thy jaws, and I'll bring thee forth and all thine army, horses and horsemen. So there's this army that's being involved. So this is a military aspect of this group, specifically in this group, Gog, the land of Magog, and Rosh, Meshech and Tubal. And all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Now it names a few other nations that we recognize more readily just due to our history books are more prominent with these names. Persia, Ethiopia, and Libya with them. And Persia, we know it's not really called Persia anymore. It's called Iran, right? All of them with shields and helmet. Gomer. And all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarter. So it's trying to help us understand, even if we don't know these names, and we can look to history books and find out what these names are, and have a little pretty map in a second to kind of place them on the map for us to understand. But we know they're in the north. And remember, scripture keeps our eyes and ears focused on the land of Israel. It does that for a reason. It's context, right? Allows us to stay focused and to stay firm in our understanding. It's not just some random place. It's always been Israel. Abraham, he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees to go to the promised land. So this is a special place that God has chosen to keep our eyes focused, because that's where his eyes are. And all his bands and many people with thee, be thou prepared and prepare for thyself and thou. So this group of nations, specifically Gog, is supposed to be prepared in this military aspect for them. And after many days, thou shalt be visited in the latter years. So he's talking about in the end days, right? The last times when Christ will return. Shall come to the land which is brought back from the sword. So he's talking about the redemption of Israel. So Israel has been brought back from the sword, Holocaust, and is gathered out of many people against, just because you didn't figure that part out yet, gives you the answer, against the mountains of Israel. So again, it gives us an interesting detail. It's the mountains of Israel. Now, we'll look at some maps in a second. We'll see, once again, if you were in 1948, you would still question these prophecies. You say, well, Israel didn't receive the mountains, which have always been waste, but is brought forth out of the nations, and they shall dwell safely, all of them. And so we see this, these prophecies continue to give us the information that's necessary for us to look into the events around us and see how the world is aligning to be ready for the return of Christ. Continuing in Ezekiel 38, we'll see a little bit more information specifically about Israel and a few other nations that are critical to our understanding. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee. So this isn't a one, you know, nation effort. It's many with them. Thus saith the Lord God, it shall come also come to pass that at the same time shall things come into thy mind, and thou shalt think an evil thought. Which gives us an insight into the mentality of these people, this confederacy. It wasn't originally an intent to overtake the land of Israel, but it became part of their intent due to the situation. Thou shalt say, I will go up to the land of unwalled villages. I will go to them that are rest and dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls, having neither bars nor gates, to take a spoil, to take a prey, to turn thine hand upon the desolate places that are now inhabited, and upon the people that are gathered out of the nations, which have gotten cattle and goods, that dwell in the midst of the land. That's an important statement again, because 1948, it still wasn't true. Sheba, Dedan, two names that now we don't see them on the map so much, but there's essentially the Southern Arabia Peninsula. And the merchants of Tarshish, another one that, outside of looking through history and scripture, it's hard to understand, but we'll see what the Bible says about that. And with all the young lions thereof, shall say unto thee, art thou come to take a spoil? Hast thou gathered thy company to take a prey, to carry away silver? So they've gathered this wealth in Israel. They become a wealthy nation. Well, there's no doubt the nation of Israel is quite a wealthy nation, but we still look for these parts of this prophecy to do with rest and peace and security without walls and without gates. And today we would say that's not entirely true, but I think it's more true today than it was just 2 years ago. So this map provides us, for those that don't know where these strange names come from, these are the historical names of some of these people that spread north into Europe, into Asia. And you can see Rosh, Gomer, Magog, Meshech, Tubal, Persia, Togarmah, Libya, Ethiopia. Another one there is Sheban, Dedan, and the old lion, Tarshish, ships of Tarshish, right? These mercantile nations, and the association with that old lion are the young lions. So you imagine, what are some of the young lions we can see today? Well, they would be from the British Empire. So India, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, even the United States, and a handful of others that would probably fit that bill. And if, once again, if you're following news, you'll see that these particular nations are aligning and have been aligned for a long time. So continuing with Bible prophecy and looking at just, we're just pulling out these little bits that just, if you put them all together, you just cannot come to any other conclusion that today these things are being fulfilled. His legs, so this is Daniel chapter 2. This is Nebuchadnezzar's image. His legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. And thou sawest till a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet and that were of iron and clay and break them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, the gold broken to pieces together. So in the last days, when this stone cut out, so this represents Jesus Christ, it doesn't just hit feet. It's not just a couple pair of feet. It's the whole image has been brought together. And we're told that this is the fourth kingdom. And it's a kingdom that would be divided, be partly strong and partly weak. And we'll see that in the nations that represent these feet, this iron Roman feet, right? And legs. So let's just go through history really quick again. I wanted to have one map that did all this, but my graphic abilities were pretty limited this time around. I couldn't figure out how I did it last time. So I just found some pictures. Babylon, right? They had this empire that spread from the Persian Gulf over to the Mediterranean Sea, and they lasted for about 70 plus years. And that was the gold head. And the silver breasts, arms, Medo-Persian Empire. And it spread a little further. And you can see that Persia and parts of further over, which would get into Pakistan and that kind of area, and up into Asia a bit, all the Kastans, a few there, and all the way over Turkey and moving into Greece. And then the Grecian Empire spread a little further, didn't it? A little bit more into Egypt and a little bit more into Europe. Finally, the Roman Empire, and it spread all the way around the Mediterranean Sea. So what we expect in these last days, if we understand Daniel's image, is that we should see, just as Constantinople and Rome were the East and the West, they went up and out. They went up and out. And all this area around, and the nations represented in these areas, were those images that were represented by Daniel's prophecy. And so what we should see, if we understand these scriptures correctly, that we should see an alignment of all of these nations in this northern corridor, though there are some that are south, opposed to Israel. And the events that transpire will bring about an invasion of the Middle East. So that's what we should see. Plus, we should see a southern group. And Sheba and Dedan, specifically in this area, should use a different color. But, India, these young lions, Britain. So we should see a division between these two groups where they no longer align so that the last days might be fulfilled. And Daniel goes on, gives us a few other prophecies, really reinforcing this concept that the fourth empire would continue until the end. Right? We've always been challenged by these thoughts because Rome doesn't exist. Well, it does. It exists in a number of ways. The people exist. And if you follow the news, you'll find out how important that historical cultural connection, the geographics, the economy, the religion is all critical to the reason these people will align. And after I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, strong exceeding. It had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces. It stamped the residue with the feet of it. It was diverse from all the beasts before it. It had 10 horns. So 10 toes, 10 horns. And you see a continual reference to these types of things. And Daniel chapter 8, same thing. It's this latter time, this kingdom. And it's not by his own power, right? So there's a transfer of power, a giving of power from other nations to this beastial system, and they will destroy the mighty and the holy people. So referencing Israel, and interesting enough, by peace shall destroy many. And that passage is picked up in Thessalonians as well. Peace and security and then sudden destruction. And notice that this fourth kingdom go against the prince of princes, speaking of Jesus Christ, and he's broken without hand. Back to Daniel chapter 2, right? Stone cut without hand. And Daniel 11, talking about the king of the north and throughout like a longer period of history. But the last section before Christ returns and that this battle and as he enters into the glorious land, once again, he speaks of these nations and the involvement in the last days, Edom, Moab, Ammon, Egypt, Libyans, and the Ethiopians. They shall all be part of this great battle. In Revelation, even Christ picks up on these last days and he expresses it as a woman sitting upon a scarlet colored beast, right? And we say, well, what does that mean? Well, it's amazing. You got to consider this is 2000 years ago and he's using imagery that people in that day would have understood because they understood Greek mythology and Roman mythology. And today we only need to look at the paper and see once again that it is obvious what it means. And these are old, these articles and this artwork. This has been in front of our eyes for generations. And he spake to them a parable, and behold, a fig tree, and all the trees, when they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. And so just as we understand the seasons, so likewise, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation, so the generation that witnesses the fig tree, the season, will not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away. So he's talking about the change of the political and economic systems in the world. But my words shall not pass away. And so what we have here is just a handful of verses, key prophecies that give us insight into how the world will look before Jesus Christ returns to set up the eternal kingdom of God. And there are many more. And we only extracted a few small details from each of these that we reviewed. The Bible tells us that the Jewish nation of Israel would not only exist, it would thrive. That's contrary to every attempt mankind has put against it. And consider now, if you lived 1,000 years ago, would you believe this ever to be true? If you reviewed the history and went back 100 years ago, would you believe this to ever be true? The answer is no, you would not, unless you believe the Bible. Where is the Roman Empire? It's gone, many will say. Empires have come and gone. The vast majority will never see the light of day again or never again become world empires of any significant influence. Yet we see the Roman elements alive and integral to Europe, Russia, and the now collapsed Soviet Union. Would we have ever imagined that this long historical northern and southern bloc of nations would continue to exist, pushing and pulling for influence within the Holy Land? Yes, it's exactly as prophesied. Two groups that have opposing nationalistic agendas which spill over into the land of Palestine. What a small nation Israel is. It was nothing more than malaria-filled swamps when the Jews returned. Enemies on every side. Yet today it stands. Israel is a testament that what God says is true. And if that doesn't convince us, I think some of the other news articles that we read should. In Isaiah 43, verse 9 to 13, he says, let all the nations be gathered together and let the people be assembled. Who among them can declare this and show us former things? Let them bring forth their witnesses that they may be justified, or let them hear and say it is truth. This is what God says of Israel. Ye are my witnesses, saith the Lord. My servant, whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me, there was no God form, neither shall there be after me. I, even I am the Lord, and beside me, there is no savior. I have declared and have saved. I've showed when there was no strange God among you. Therefore, ye are my witnesses, that saith the Lord. And this is what he's trying to use them as a witness. That I am God. It's incredibly simple. He's using Israel to prove that he's God. No one else can tell the future. No one else can bring this people, this incredible people, for many reasons. They're certainly not godly, and yet he's worked with them, and he's brought them back into the land. So before the day was, I am he, and there is none that can deliver it of my hand. I will work, and who shall let it? So in other words, God's saying he's going to do what he said he's going to do, and is going to come to pass, and we just have to watch, and we'll be convinced that that's true. And this is why the Middle East is so important for us to follow and see how these nations align. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, after glory hath he sent me unto the nations which spoil you, for he that toucheth you toucheth the apple of his eye. And so God has said that he's tender about Abraham's descendants because of his promises that he's made to their forefathers. And so we should also treat it as such. So 1948, out of the Holocaust came a miracle for the Jewish people. No one wanted the Jews to migrate to their countries. Even in friendly nations like Britain, United States, there's no desire to give them a place within their borders. You look how big the United States is, right? Plenty of place for them, especially 1948. No thanks. There's got to be some other place we can put them, right? And so a solution was made, and it's so very natural, isn't it? So as a result of the geopolitical situation in the Middle East that all came about, World War I, World War II, that the Jewish people found a home. And you may recall that out of the two world wars, the Ottoman Empire shrunk dramatically, once again fulfilling prophecy, with the southern pressure led by the Allies pushing up from the south into the Middle East. And so the land had been prepared so that they might take it. And it wasn't easy. It was despite all odds, and it was against most, if not all, national interests. But it continued. And so 1948, they were born, and they fought for their lives. And then, I can't read these, I gotta zoom in a bit here. 1956 to 57, once again, Sinai-Suez campaign, war. 1967, they retook Jerusalem in the Six-Day War. 1967, 1970, the War of Attrition. 1973, Yom Kippur War. And each one of these wars, an absolute miracle that they survived. Not only survived, but excelled. They kept on taking more and more. Then 1978, Operation Litany. I might be pronouncing that one wrong. September 1982, First Lebanon War. 1996, the Grapes of Wrath, another Lebanon war. And everybody knows what's happened to Lebanon, right? Lebanon's pretty much done. Syria, pretty much done. These nations that continue to be hotbeds, the Palestinians, you even consider them in this day and age. They become less and less relevant in the news. And it continues on and on. Israel, despite all odds, continues to exist. And this is two maps. And this is, remember in Ezekiel 38, it talks about the mountains of Israel and the midst of the land. This is absolutely critical because in 1948, you could still argue the Bible is not true. Well, you could, you'd be foolish, but you could still argue because it says the mountains of Israel. Well, the mountains weren't given to the children of Israel. They weren't given to the Jews. In fact, you can see the blue areas, what they were given. And so this is what the UN outcries constantly, that how dare the Jews continue on the right map, settle the mountains of Israel and call Jerusalem their own. And yet they do that despite all odds, despite all pressure from the nations around them. They continue to settle the mountains of Israel. Now, right or wrong, all I know is that God is working in this situation to fulfill his will. So continuing on, we now have the Northern and Southern Confederacy to look at. And now we'll start digging into our news flashes. So when we look at the geopolitical situation, particularly in the Middle East, we see as never before the nations being aligned as the ancient prophets revealed they would. Christadelphians for 170 years or so have expected two major power blocks to emerge in the Middle East at the time of the end, a block to the north of the land of Israel and a block to the south. And that is what's currently developing. And it's been developing all my life, but more so in these last couple of years. The prophet Ezekiel makes clear that the northern bloc will be led by Russia, who will be confederate with Iran, Libya, the Horn of Africa region, including Ethiopia and Sudan, and they also joined by European nations, which we expect because of Daniel's prophecies and the other prophecies in Ezekiel, wouldn't we? The southern bloc will be made up of many of the Commonwealth nations, such as Britain, Canada, Australia, New Zealand, allied with the Gulf states south of the land of Israel. In addition, we think it's prophetically sound to see the USA as part of this group due to their historic links to Britain and the ever-increasing trade between the US and Britain post-Brexit. For those that don't know, and I don't think I have an article on it specifically, but right now, many trade routes, like for stores selling goods, it's easier for them to trade with the US than it is for Europe. And get this, it's not because there is this necessarily huge cost associated with trading with Europe. It's because they're fighting with each other. And so if they don't sign in the right color and they don't put their name on the right spot and they don't give it within, you know, 2 seconds when it normally takes 5 minutes, or whatever the case may be, they find every little reason to stop the trade. So the Britain is finding it just incredibly difficult to trade with the EU. So it is to these nations then that the relationships with each other and Israel that we look. It's interesting for us to note that very broadly we see the nations have separate religious identities. And I don't think that's by coincidence. The Northern Bloc is made up of Catholic or Eastern Orthodox Christian nations and Shia Muslim countries. And the Southern Bloc is broadly made up from predominantly Protestant Christian nations and Sunni Muslim countries. So there's an ideology and a religious thought pattern that is common between these two groups. And furthermore, we see that politically and economically and militarily, these nations are being drawn to each other according to their power blocks. So this is what we want to see based on Bible prophecy and the news. We want to see the northern land, north of the land of Israel, right? So geography. We want to see it's composed of nations mentioned in Ezekiel's prophecy, composed of the nations represented in Nebuchadnezzar's dream. We want to see the Roman roots, geographic, historic, cultural, political, economic, religious. We want to see common antagonism against the Jews. And we want to see them give up their power to a greater purpose. So let's first examine the Northern Bloc. We have seen very recently headlines such as this. Iran, Russia conduct joint naval drill in Indian Ocean from the Al Jazeera News Agency. And despite UN and US sanctions on Iran and global condemnation for their continuing enrichment of uranium, Russia continues to develop ever closer ties to Iran. The Moscow Times ran this headline on the 12th of February this year. Iranian speakers, Moscow visit signals closer ties to come, experts say. The Islamic Republic News Agency reported that on the parliament speaker's return to Iran, he said that he delivered a message from Supreme Leader, I was going to kick out of that, of the Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, to Russian President Vladimir Putin, adding, the leader emphasized on long-term coordination and strategic agreements with Russia. His message was, of course, broader, covering other issues, including economic, political ones, how to achieve agreements, future communications, and policies between Iran and Russia. So they're getting closer. Referring to meetings with Russian and Iranian business people during his trip, the speaker also said, despite coronavirus pandemic, Iran's exports to Russia have increased by 40%. And a trading financial hub and a logistics center were planned to be launched to track customs and contracting issues. Right? So, I mean, it's just everyday business, but prophecy being fulfilled. And he also remarked on the Eurasia Economic Union. So this is something that's very recent in our lives. We think of the EU as the Western bloc of European countries. Well, sure enough, they said, hey, we'd like to have more trade and have some more friends. And so they created the EAEU, which connects countries in the region to create a free trade zone. So it's based on economy, right? Stating that Iran had commenced talks to make permanent its membership in the Union. Comments reflect not only a desire for stronger Iranian ties with Russia, but also the desire to join with the Eurasia Economic Union, the EAEU. It was only created 5 years ago. Ties Eastern European nations to their Eastern Asian neighbors, led naturally by Russia. It is this type of alliance or union that Bible students have long expected to see. We see Russia. He is an incredible individual, incredible leader. And I don't say that like, you know, I think he's a great person or something like that. I think you're more likely to end up dead if you took him off. But here we can see that they are working together, Iran and Russia, and they don't care what the U.S. is saying. Biden has no clout. And it's not just Biden. It's the time in which the world is changing and Russia is becoming dominant. So looking beyond Iran, we see Russian relationships continuing to build with the other major players of Ezekiel's prophecy. Ezekiel speaks of Russia being confederate with Cush. The ancient nation of Cush includes the territory of Sudan. And we see today the ever-increasing military presence of Russia in this area. The Foreign Policy News Agency ran this headline with base in Sudan, Russia, expands its military reach in Africa in December 2020. The article begins, Russia has struck a deal with Sudan to establish a naval base in the country as Moscow seeks to expand its military reach in the Middle East and North Africa. The deal made public on December 8th allows Russia to station four ships and up to 300 personnel at Port Sudan on the Red Sea. As part of a 25-year agreement, it will be Russia's first naval base in Africa. The base will be used as a logistic support center and repair resupply point. And the deal also gives Moscow the rights to use Sudan's airport for the transportation of weapons, ammunition, and equipment required to support the base. And Port Sudan is significantly smaller than the Russian base in Tartus, Syria, Moscow's only other naval facility outside of the former Soviet Union. But it will give Russia a strategic foothold along the Red Sea, which links European and Asian waters and is one of the world's busiest waterways. And this is an amazing recent development, and it highlights to us three major points which prophetically we would expect to be happening. So one of the other things, as I was doing study for this, I watched a little video on Turkey and the Bosphorus Strait, Constantinople, and what they're doing, and with all the rules about, you know, what ships can go through there. You get a chance, watch that video. It's like 10 minutes and beautifully done, right? Some professional doing his story with great pictures and stuff. Amazing. And you can see the pressure that Russia wants a southern port. You know, they always wanted one, but boy, oh boy, you can see why. The world has been against them in more ways than one in that aspect. So continuing on. On the 25th, February 2021, the news agency TRT ran the headline, What is Russia's Endgame in Libya? For those that forgot about Libya, the Arab Spring, Libya, kind of chaotic, don't go there. I forget the guy's name. He always had a funny look to me. Gaddafi? Gaddafi. Yeah, poor guy. I don't feel that sorry for him, but, you know, they were becoming westernized. And God doesn't want Libya to be part of the Southern Bloc, for whatever reasons. And so sure enough, things change. And so what is Russia's endgame in Libya? The article, the world finds it extremely difficult to ascertain what Russia's grand plan is for this Northern African nation so far from their own land. Christadelphians for 170 years have expected Russia to have ties with Libya because of the Bible, albeit for very different reasons. Clearly, Russia has very strong links with Iran, the region of Kush, Ethiopia, Sudan, Libya. In addition to these links, we see the might and aggression of Russia sitting in Syria. We understand from the prophet Daniel that this area is key to identifying the king of the north. From the perspective of the Northern Alliance, the Northern Power Bloc, that there are not many more questions that need to be answered in terms of seeing a group of nations pulling together. From the perspective of the Northern Alliance, the Northern power bloc, there are not many more questions, right? While most of the East has condemned Putin and Russia for the poisoning and subsequent imprisonment of the Russian opposition leader, Macron has been much more diplomatic in his remarks. And we did a class on Macron, a year ago. It's been a while. Follow him. This man represents everything we expect in the latter days. He's very much a humanist, but very much believes in the culture of the Roman Empire and the religion. So the Russian court, this is the Daily News reported on the 5th of February. Russian court this week sent Navalny to prison for over 2.5 years, a compounding Western in anger after his poisoning last year that Europe says was through the Soviet-era nerve agent Novichok. I think this is a huge mistake. This is Macron. Even for Russia, Russian stability today, Macron said of the Moscow court's ruling, which critics say aims to silence Navalny. But he added that he advocated ongoing dialogue because Russia was part of Europe. And it was impossible to have peace and stability in Europe without being able to negotiate with Russia. So he sees Russia as part of Europe. Macron also raised eyebrows, particularly in Germany, by saying Europe needs strategic autonomy, enabling it to handle its defense matters without relying on the U.S. Our duty definitely is not to put ourselves in a situation to depend on U.S. decisions, says Macron, added that a mindset needed to be changed that built the concept of the absence of European defense. Clearly, Macron is trying to maneuver European minds to move away from the thinking of the West, with America being critical to every strategic decision towards a more independent Europe, able to have strategic autonomy. What is remarkable is that he reiterates his long-held belief that Russia is part of Europe, and this is what we'd expect. So the Southern Confederacy, these are things that we'd expect in the South. We're almost done. The Southern nations should include Israel, should become composed of the nations mentioned in Ezekiel's prophecy, historical, cultural, economic, political, religious relationship, in alignment with Israel. And we see that in the actions of China, the Brexit, and the Abrahamic Accord. So we just zoom through these articles. So the world has seen an increasingly powerful and hostile China. The BBC ran the headline, Hong Kong, Five Eyes Could Be Blinded. China warned the West in November 2020. The article stated, China has strongly rebuked the UK, the US, Australia, New Zealand, and Canada after being accused of a concerted effort to silence critics in Hong Kong. The countries which form the Five Eyes Alliance criticized China's imposition of new rules to disqualify elected legislators in Hong Kong. And China's actions over the sovereignty of the former British territory of Hong Kong, the Chinese tech firm it's a tech company everybody knows now, but I always say Hawaii. It's not. It's a different name. The perceived treatment of the Uyghur people, a mostly Muslim ethnic group in China's Xinjiang province, including the Muslim detention camps, as well as seemingly unjust arrests and imprisonments for Australian nationals, has created major frictions. So for those that don't know, there's a group of nations, the Five Eyes, US, Canada, Britain, Australia, and I don't know who the fifth is. New Zealand. They all work together. And one of the things was I don't think Canada is yet, but they all banned that company from doing 5G in their countries because it's a Chinese company that's run by the government. So it's a national threat. The news outlet, the Diplomatic, reported the difficulties of the relationships between Australia and China on February 11th this year. And under the headline, China-Australia slump continues to deepen. And the writer comments, in the past year, these political tensions have spilled over into the economic dimensions of the bilateral relationships. Beijing hit back against Canberra, so that's Australia's capital, with a slew of restrictions and tariffs. And Australia went back and did it to them too. And we see this happening over and over again. So the world can clearly see the increasing tension and fragmentation in relationships between China and the Western powers. Naturally, this is in turn forcing them to draw closer together. And the Wall Street Journal ran an extremely interesting article in the summer of 2020 under the headline, "It's Time to Revive the Anglosphere," which is a group of nations that speak English and have common Protestant background in Britain. So, you know, these are not, you know, people that are reading their Bible and saying, we got to follow what the Bible tells us to do. They are making decisions that they believe are the best decisions for their countries, for their livelihoods. And God, through his wisdom and his foreknowledge, prophesied of these things before. And that's where Brexit comes in. We don't have time to cover it tonight. Now, we did do it in a few classes, especially when it was just hot news. It's not so hot these days. But a lot of stuff's going on there. So Brexit is Britain leaving Europe. And we've been expecting that for a long time because of Bible prophecy. And sure enough, they have. And this continues, right? We can see the rule of Britain and the rule of Europe playing out. We can see, for example, the Abrahamic Accords. So we're starting to see peace in the Middle East more and more. Under Trump, and I don't think it's because Trump's some amazing guy or anything, but under Trump, incredible things happen. You know, the movement for opening the door for, you know, kind of the confidence to take action and bring about, you know, these kind of peace treaties that nobody wanted to do before. They all came to fruition. And, you know, we see that once again, you know, Iran, Russia, they are working together closer and closer. And China is involved with this group. And now we're seeing, you know, Europe and other nations saying the only people that can solve peace in that region of the world is Russia. It's really different than what it used to be. And you can see the antagonism between Russia and the United States. Once again, we're back into the Cold War type of rhetoric where they're threatening each other in different ways. But the U.S. has become quite toothless, hasn't it? It's been pulling out over and over again. We can see the relationship in Britain between Macron and Boris Johnson. They're toxic, can't stand each other. And that's the way Europe feels with Britain. It's kind of like the unruly child, just won't do what we tell them to do. They want to be independent. How dare they, right? And it's because they have a different mentality, a different culture, different everything, really, where Europe is, they are together believing that it's better to give up their own sovereignty to a greater ideal. That greater ideal, of course, we'll see, will bring them down to the Middle East. And it doesn't end there. Macron continues to eat at and beat up the UK. We see military alliances, like, for example, in Australia, they broke their terms with France, so they got subs from the US. They decided to do the same thing with their helicopters. We see relationships between Germany and Russia, even though the government says a lot of things, condemns Russia, all of their gas and stuff comes from Russia, and they have that free trade agreement, a special agreement with Russia, and it continues to be that way. So we see that true peace in the Middle East seems to be contingent upon this new group of nations working together in the North. Of course, we know when they cry peace and safety, then comes sudden destruction. And so these two points, current events, the Jewish nation of Israel would exist, and again, and it does, and has been existing for 74 years or so now. And the Northern Southern Confederacy of Nations would align before the invasion of the land of Israel. We are at that point. There's nothing else that needs to happen. They're aligned. The nations that we expected to be aligned are just as we hope for. So the scene is very much set for the return of the Lord Jesus. The nations have been organized in a way never seen before. Two major blocks are emerging. The King of the North is prepared. Who would have guessed? I remember my schoolyard, you know, kids talking about prophecy, being made fun of, saying Russia's just a bunch of rusty boats. No way Russia would be playing any role. Soviet Union's collapsed. They're yesterday's news. And yet, Bible prophecy comes true. And all the while we keep watching, and in so doing, we are following the instructions of the Lord Jesus. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass. And what a warning that is, and to stand before the Son of Man. Surely the time must be close when the Lord will come. Let us each day we are given be prepared to watch and to pray. Thank you.